Pam Palmiter. Hi, my name is Pam Palmiter, and I'm your host for the Mi'kmaq episodes of Words and Culture. I'm a Mi'kmaq lawyer, professor, and author from Eel River Bar First Nation, which is known in the Mi'kmaq language as Ugbaganjig. And although my First Nation is small, we are one of many other First Nations that make up the larger Mi'kmaq Nation, and our territory is just as big. It includes all of Nova Scotia, PEI, a significant part of New Brunswick, parts of Newfoundland, parts of Quebec, and even Maine. All of that is what's known as Mi'kma'ki, Mi'kmaq territory. And have I already said it's my favorite place in the world? Today I get to talk to the super cool Mi'kmaq duo, Lindsay Denny and Alicia Sapier. Lindsay is the language and cultural coordinator for Pictou Landing First Nation in Nova Scotia. And Alicia is one of Pictou's Mi'kmaq language teachers. And she does a bunch of other cool things like create games. But when I saw their TikTok videos teaching the Mi'kmaq language, I knew I had to invite them to Words and Culture so you could hear all about their really unique and cool work. Medelotio, how are you?
We're good. I'm doing really good today.
Really? Happening?
Alicia, I understand that you're fluent in the language. Can you tell me a bit about what you do for the community?
Yes, I teach the language. I do language classes once a week for kids and once a week for adults. And I also started doing virtual online classes as well on Tuesdays. So if people would like to join, they can join on our Mi'kmaq Pictouga web Facebook page.
Wow, is that just for people who belong to Pictou?
Well, mainly our goal is because all of the reservations have their own teachers for their community, and same with us. And we have, our goal is mainly for our community, but we don't discriminate. We would love to teach as many people as we can. But because of other reservations having their own language teachers, and the difference between dialect as well would have to be something people would have to look at as well too, right? So like what we teach here might not be sounding the same as another reservation, you know?
That's so true, because I've heard a big difference. Like my reserve, Ugbaganjig Eel River Bar First Nation in New Brunswick, what the Mi'kmaq, sometimes the sayings that they have or the way they spell the language is a bit different than what I see in Nova Scotia. Do you see that too?
Yes. Okay, for example, the spelling part, I know we have the word wises. We spell W-A-I-S-I-S, but I've noticed in Elsie Booktook, they spell it W-I-S-I-S. So there's an example of a spelling. And another example for the speech part. For basement, for downstairs, the big cove, they would say ebuneg. But for us, for us, we say goeg. And like another example would be store. Big covers will say magusang, we say masunogom. So there's that difference in the dialects, right?
I wonder how much of an influence French has had on the language, because magasin is the word for store in French. And so the word they used in Elsie Booktook or Big Cove sounds very close to the French word.
There's a lot of French influence in our language, actually. One for example would be plate. Some people will call it deptahan, or another way to say it is l'assiette. And that's almost like a French.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another thing the French do influence is, okay, so one example is we have moose, right? Mm-hmm. And when the French people came, they had cows. So when the French brought their cows, we call them wenjidiam, the French moose. Wenj, like the French, wenj, and moose, wenjidiam. So it's a French moose.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So there's another influence. Shoes, I hear, is another influence because they're called wenjusanunk. The French people brought them, wenuj, When Jusanang?
Okay, all right. Well, that makes a lot of sense. I always wonder because I'm not fluent. I know very little Mi'kmaq, but when I worked in the federal government, I had to become bilingual in French and learn French, you know, for the first time. And then I was like, wait a second. I think I recognize some of these words in Mi'kmaq. I was surprised at the number of Mi'kmaq words that I heard that resembled French words for the same thing. So you're a Mi'kmaq language teacher, which is so amazing. Thank you for that work that you do. When I was reading your bio, it said that you do, like, you create resources and you even design games. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I'm working on a Jenga game, conversational Jenga, and that would be like a little board that goes, going to be, you know how you get your Jenga, but you're going to be able to have three different colors to make three different sentences using the Jenga. Like, oh, that, like, I come up with little ideas like that.
I love that because you as, you know, language instructors and educators and people who are dedicated to cultural revitalization, we all know that the best way to cement learning is, you know, not just practice and auditory, but visual, but it's also like active. So playing games would also help cement that. And I think that's such a good idea. I didn't even know that there was people out there doing that. Like, I heard that there's people out there trying to make like video games or whatever. I'm not very good at video games, but I could do these other ones. And Lindsay, like, I heard you describe yourself on one of the TikToks as a Mi'kmaq language learner because you're not yet fluent. What inspired you to take up the role as language and cultural coordinator? Is it because you were on this journey?
So growing up, I didn't hear much of the language around me. And once I became a mom, I realized how important it was for me to reconnect so I could pass it on to my son. He's two. And that really pushed me to learn and get involved in revitalizing the language here in our community. Because a lot of people my age, so I'm 31, and a lot of us grew up not speaking the language. So it was really important to me to try and learn and get that back, right? Because it's such a beautiful language and I really, really wish I could speak it. But I'm learning new words each day and practicing as much as I can.
Well, that's inspiring for me because I think about, you know, there's a generation or two of us who didn't learn the language. Like, even though my grandmother and my family and my father, when they were all living on the res and he was younger, they were all, that's their first language. That was the only language they knew. But then, you know, when, you know, everything that happened in society and with the government and colonization, he was like, don't speak the language. You're not going to learn the language. I couldn't pass it on to my kids. They're in their 30s now. But now that I have baby grandkids, I want to do nothing more than to keep learning, like, because I've been on a slow journey. And I'm just thinking, thank goodness there are people like you two out there making it fun and interesting and non-intimidating. You make it welcoming and inviting. And do you think that makes a huge difference in whether people feel brave enough to come in into a language class?
Oh, absolutely. You know, as a learner myself, it's been a slow but meaningful journey. And, you know, we just want to help others and we want to create a safe space for learners. And, you know, we want to make language fun, accessible. But yeah, I feel like that's definitely made a difference.
Me, I had no choice. Growing up as a kid, my family would get upset if they were to hear me speak a word of English. I would be smacked across the head or told, get the heck out of my house. You're going to speak that language in here. They'll be like, Dalis and Abugagil. I don't understand you. Manastumno, Dalis and Gil. If I were to speak English, they'd be like, what are you speaking? I don't understand you. So that's how I was able to hold my language. My family wouldn't allow, I'm 41 years old. My family did not allow me to speak English in the home at all whatsoever. My Bloch family, my Gugu family, yeah, they speak terrible English. That's the only reason why I have my fluency. It's because of them. And then plus I grew up with it in school as well, right? My teachers were Mi'kmaq. My mom's Mi'kmaq. So I had no choice.
I can't even imagine what it would have been like to grow up only speaking Mi'kmaq. Imagine getting into trouble for speaking English. That's some hardcore resistance on the colonial push to wipe out our languages. And I don't know if this Mi'kmaq musician grew up speaking his language, but I certainly know he can sing it. Check out Morgan Toney with the Mi'kmaq Honor Song. And Juno-nominated singer-songwriter Morgan Toney with the Mi'kmaq Honor Song. What I really love is that it's the two of you with very different experiences and in different positions, one fluent, one not, one who grew up with it, one who didn't. And you're both trying to teach the Mi'kmaq language to other people who are in a variety of these similar situations. And That means a lot to people like me, that there are people out there that are doing this and trying to reach us in a different way. And one of those things, Lindsay, I always wanted to ask, because, you know, I love your TikToks. I think you both are a hoot. Mm-hmm. I look forward to your TikToks every morning, especially the one that you did on the bloopers. Every blooper, every cut made me laugh harder. And I was like, I'm going to pee my pants. This is...
Wessel. Questions before I go on from here. Great. I really understood that well.
One. Gwe.
And Alicia, I have to ask you, how do you keep a straight face during some of these things? Because I am dying. I mean, how do you do it?
I just got to shake it off and turn around for a split second while it's still there.
Okay, well, Lindsay, are you kind of the video director of all these TikToks?
Yeah, so coming into this role as a non-speaker and a learner, I was like, what can I bring to the table to help with language revitalization? And I was like, you know what? Because we were having a hard time. The first thing we did was do language classes, right? Because that's what the community wanted. We did put out a survey and we presented it at the AGA in our community here back in November, where we asked community members, you know, what did they want? And a lot of them did say they wanted language classes, online resources, apps, one-on-one sessions, language videos. So I was like, perfect. That's what I'm going to take control of, because I was already on TikTok beforehand and none of my coworkers were really familiar with social media and TikTok. So I was like, you know what? I'll start creating videos. And
I was a nervous wreck.
So yeah. Yes. That first
time. We believe that language is a key component of identity.
and revitalizing it strengthens the community connections to its culture. It promotes pride, and it ensures that future generations understand and appreciate their cultural roots. Glusuahaminu Wijit Giskuk, which means Mi'kmaq word of the day. And the Mi'kmaq word of the day is Giptigewagus, which translates to frost moon. And in the Mi'kmaq calendar, Giptigewagus is the moon that corresponds to the time when rivers begin to freeze over.
Yeah, her growth, as we did each video, like she was really shy in the beginning, but you know, she got more comfortable as we posted each video. So yeah, that's why I took on that role, was because that's what I was good at, was editing.
She's great
and TikTok
at.
And yeah, it's been really fun.
It's so good. Like, what made you think to use TikTok to teach Mi'kmaq? Were you trying to target like the younger generation, or was it just because native TikTok is on TikTok? Like, what made you think to use TikTok versus, say, YouTube, a big long video on YouTube?
So when I was initially hired, I was actually initially hired as the youth mentor. So my focus was on the youth, and, you know, they're on TikTok, and I wanted to make language fun, accessible. And I find now we have a shorter attention span. So I wanted to make our videos really quick, but also gain a lot from just that short segment of language. So we're working on commands right now. So we need to recruit more people for our video. So that's how we got. So some of them are we're a little bit uncomfortable filming, but I'm so glad we finally got them on camera, because they're like, there's no way I'm ever going on TikTok. You are not going to record me. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, fine. I respect that. But yeah, they got more comfortable with it, and we're able to be in our videos, and it's awesome.
And that's our future plan, is to have the whole community members involved in making our videos sometime in the near future too, right?
Yes, so, absolutely.
Like the other day, we needed another person for a video here. We didn't have it. So I had to go down to the gym, and we had Sabrina volunteer. I said, we need a person. Anyone here not busy can come help us. Sabrina's like, okay. So she came in and helped us, right?
Yeah, and
so,
she's a community member.
Yeah, so, she's from,
yeah. So it was great.
Yeah. Well, what I really appreciate about it is it's not all formal and stuffy and like what you would expect if it was like, say, a university class, and it's just so serious. Like the fact that you can make mistakes, or someone's trying not to laugh, or you're doing it over again, or they're walking in very awkward. It's like, this is so much fun. It makes me want to learn all of that stuff. And Alicia, one thing I wanted to ask you, some of the things you share on these TikToks is the different forms of a word. If it's, you know, a command for one person or two people or three people, can you just give us an example and what the difference is between those three words? Like if it was to, you know, get out of here or come back or sit down or whatever, but what the difference is when it's one person, two people, three people.
Yeah, they're kind of like pronouns, neen, gil, negum. So one is like, one neen is me, or what, like you, gil, like would be you, or negum would be them, right? So that's what I'm trying to teach people, the difference between like, between neen and Lindsay, Grinia, Daluisin.
Daluisi, Lindsay.
And I would say like, Daluisid. That would mean like, what's their name? So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the one between me and her, and then there's one between them.
That's amazing. And because there's things that I forget from taking, I think it was Peggy Clement from Elsa Booktok who had taught me like years and years ago, and that they're like, it's the same word, but it takes a different form if you're commanding one person to do it versus two people to do it. And I always thought that's so interesting, because you know how just generally in our community, sometimes we just use the same word. Like I used to always say, Wallalan, whether I'm saying Wallalan to one person or whether it was to a room of people or six people. And then an elder said, well, actually, there's a difference if it's one person or another person. So Alicia, what is the difference? Like, for any listeners who don't know the difference, when you hear someone say Wallalan, they know that.
I have a great example, actually. I have a really great example, something my kid's father would do. He would tell me, oh, your Nidab is here. Your Nidab is here. And I'm like, my Nidab? No. Yes, it's my friend, but you're supposed to say your Gidab is here. So Nidab, my friend. Gidab, your friend. Widab, their friend. So he would always tell me, your Nidab is here. And I'm like, no, you're supposed to say your Gidab is here. Your friend is here. So there's that Neen, Gil, Negum.
Okay, so in the context of, say, Wallalan, I'm saying that to one person. But if I'm saying it to, say, six people, thanking all of them, what would be the word?
Wallalio.
It's one person saying it to two or more people.
Yeah.
Okay, what if it was a family? Our family is thanking another family.
Wallaliag.
Like, thank you from us.
Yeah, thank you from us. Like, if I was to thank all you guys from us, Wallaliag.
Okay. So, Wallalan, Wallalio, Wallaliag.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's how we usually finish our TikTok videos. Yeah.
Like, I know sometimes it's easier to learn a language if you're in it. Like, if, say, you're living in a community or in a family and you're immersion, I guess, fully immersed in it, and you just kind of have to learn it trial by fire. But do you think that people who don't have an opportunity to be fully immersed in the language can still learn it enough to, say, be conversational or understand people?
Almost definitely. I believe you can, because there are single phrases that you can say. You don't have, like, even just the smallest amount of Mi'kmaq you can speak is, I would say, would be a great, great improvement. Because any little bit of Mi'kmaq you know is great. And start small. Just say, thank you, Wallalan, Namultis, Medaulain, Gesalol. Like, those simple words, they're meaningful. Like, Gesalol, I love you. Like, my son, he works here at the store, and he says, Wallalan, Namultis. And when I walk in there, he tells me that, all right, Namultis, Mom, Gesalol. Like, simple little phrases. And that's where it can start.
Okay, well, I want to ask both of you, for Mi'kmaq youth, say, whether they live on reserve or off reserve, what is your message to them about the language? And, like, say, assume that they're non-fluent and they really want to learn the language. What's your advice or guidance for them about what they could do?
Don't be shy. Do your best. We're here to help. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to make fun of people myself. I know that discourages people, so I do my best. Mm-hmm. Just be proud of your language, and you'll be able to learn it easily. Yeah. Repetition. Don't forget.
Be proud of who you are.
Yes.
Yeah. And every word matters.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if you can't speak a full sentence, if you can just say one simple, like, Gesalol, I love you, that's a phrase right there,
Yeah.
Yes, we'll just be walking around everywhere. Gesalol, Gesalol, Gesalol.
Gesalol, Namultis. Like, see you again.
Yeah.
That was Lindsay Denny and Alicia Sapier from Pictou Landing First Nation Mi'kmaq Language Team. Be sure to follow them on TikTok as PLFN Language Team. They left us with some very important advice. Don't be shy. Do your best. Be proud of your language. Be proud of who you are. And every word matters. What an incredible way to end this Mi'kmaq language series on words and culture. Actually, I don't want this series to end. Hey, producer, can we just keep this going? Here I thought I was just going to host another show, but instead, I've been educated, empowered, and inspired to continue on with my own Mi'kmaq language learning journey. Everyone I've had the honor to talk to, Jarvis Gugu, Michelle Sillaboy, Jeremy Dutcher, Cheryl Maloney, Bernie Francis, and in this final episode, Lindsay Denny and Alicia Sapier. Every single one of them taught me something new. But they all had something in common. Not only did they all encourage me to continue learning the language of our ancestors, but they all agreed it can be done. I can become fluent and pass it on to my grandkids. They also taught me that the cultural context of our language is just as important as the words themselves. They also taught me that it's not our fault if we are not fluent in our traditional indigenous languages. Colonial laws, policies, and practices over hundreds of years worked really hard to erase us, our cultures, and our languages. But guess what? We're still here. We're still speaking our languages, and we're inspiring others to join us on that journey to learn our languages, the languages of our ancestors. And for me, that's Mi'kmaq. Next time on Words and Culture, I'm handing it over to legendary broadcaster, the incredible Sheila Rogers. Sheila will be bringing you all things Métis and talk about her own journey about connecting to her culture and language. Kualalio ohodetut. Thank you, friends, for listening and supporting Words and Culture. I'm your host, Pam Palmiter. Namultis. See you again.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Hausin Dan King Sam.
Namaltis.
Ninwis Ahaha Miku Kwakwal.
Kachunautano.
Wapamatin Mina.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
This is Bird Note. Polar bears symbolize the icy landscapes of the far north like no other animal. The bear's way of life, its very survival, is inseparable from the Arctic pack ice. Less familiar is a remarkable bird that shares with the polar bear this vital link to ice, the ivory gull. Just as polar bears are clad in white fur, ivory gulls are feathered entirely in white, adapted to the whiteness of their world. Long-winged and graceful in flight, ivory gulls breed on the northernmost islands of the Canadian Arctic and other high Arctic sites. They spend the winter near the pack ice. The gulls feed on small fish and other marine life, but also scavenge carcasses, including those left by polar bears. As a polar bear consumes the choice parts of a seal, ivory gulls wait at the edge of the action, intent on sharing the leftovers. Global warming has brought increasing change to the world of ice-dependent species, such as the ivory gull and polar bear. This white gull, like the white bear, represents an entire ecosystem at risk as the extent and the thickness of sea ice is decreasing. There's more on our website at birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started, so I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.